Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
We're going to start in Mark chapter 3. You know, as I shared earlier, you know, we're in the Gospel of Mark right now. If you're following our reading plan through our Solid Life Journal, we're in the Gospel of Mark. We'll be moving into John next, all right? So I wanted to bring some things from Mark, his account, and I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture this morning. We're going to start in Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. This was August 26th reading, all right? August 26th. It says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Everyone say, follow Jesus.
Follow
Jesus. Yeah, so this is actually part 6 of our series, Following Jesus, all right? It says, they followed him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. When they heard, touch your neighbor and say, tell somebody. It says, when they heard how many things he was doing, they came to him. They came to him. Catch that. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. So you can get a picture that Jesus' ministry right now, is it has taken off. I mean, the crowds are uncontrollable. All right, so he said, get a boat ready because, man, I don't want to get crushed by the amount of people that are coming to me. All right? Verse 10, for he healed many so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. Everyone say they touched him. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, this was August 28th reading, says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. How many have been spent before? Amen. Come on, you ever been spent?
Yes.
You know, you're spent of energy, spent of time. I mean, you're spent. This woman was spent. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, come on, touch your neighbor and say, tell somebody. Man, how are they going to hear unless you tell them? Listen, if you're not talking about Jesus, nobody will hear about him.
Right.
Right? So this is part of your assignment. This is part of my assignment. We have to be about our Father's business talking about Jesus.
Right.
Listen, this is how the kingdom grows. Right? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him. Notice she came behind him. She came to him in the crowd and touched his garment. Everyone say she touched him. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes?
Yes.
But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling. That's interesting.
Yes.
I mean, why wasn't she rejoicing and praising? Because this woman had an issue of blood. She was deemed unclean. All right, because of her condition, she wouldn't be allowed or invited into the temple to worship. And even in her city, she would have been deemed unclean. So for her to press her way through the crowd, notice that she came behind him to touch him.
Yes.
She was being very sneaky, but very intentional. All right, so when she touched him, and Jesus looked around and said, who touched me? He looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. So now this woman that was doing something privately was now told to talk about it publicly. So everybody around heard her testimony. Everyone heard her testimony. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Turn to your neighbor and say, she touched him. Look at Mark chapter 6 now, verses 53 through 56. This would be August 29th, so this would be last Tuesday's reading. It says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And then when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Come on, listen, they're not only taking the initiative for themselves, but they're taking their friends and their sick neighbors to where Jesus was. Verse 56, wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and they begged him, listen, that they might just touch the hem of his garments. Where do you think they heard that from? Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, tell somebody. Listen, and as many as touched him were made well. Come on, say they touched him. Say it again, say they touched him. Now put the punch on him. They touched him. Yeah, listen, in all of these passages of scripture that we just read, there's a common theme throughout. They touched him. Listen, they didn't wait around for Jesus to come to where he was and ask him, touch me. They took the initiative to go where Jesus was, and they took the initiative to touch him. So listen, the Lord wants to talk to us this morning about initiating the touch. Initiating the touch, because there's something about taking the initiative to reach out and touch Jesus. There's something about taking that initiative that brings something out of Jesus to us. Listen, we don't always have to wait for Jesus to come to us. Now listen, this is not sacrilegious. We don't always have to wait. We don't always have to sit and beg, Jesus, come, come, come. Listen, that's apathy. Yes. Jesus said, I want to talk to you about initiating the touch. You know, we can do the touching. Come on, church, listen. You can initiate your own healing. Yes. You can take the initiative and you can jumpstart your own breakthrough. Yes. Come on, are you hearing this? Lord says, I need you to initiate the touch. We can begin to take the initiative and jumpstart your freedom or your deliverance. Yes. Amen? Amen? So listen, in our text, all these people took the initiative to reach out and touch Jesus. They did the touching, but this poses a question to me. What was it that triggered that decision? I mean, what caused them to take the initiative to go to Jesus and touch him? And the answer is pretty obvious to me. They were all desperate. Yes. They were all desperate. How many of you know that God always steps into your desperate situation? Amen. He always steps in. And listen, I'll tell you something else that's even more powerful than that. That God always leans in to a heart that's desperate for him. Yes. And so now I have to ask myself this question. How desperate am I for Jesus? Am I desperate enough? Because listen to me, church. The measure of my desperation will determine the impact of his touch. And so the Lord wants to address something in the church today, not just this church, but he wants to address something that's happening in the church today. People aren't desperate for him. So you see churches folding. You see pastors resigning. You see churches empty when they should be filled because people aren't desperate enough. So I have to ask myself, am I desperate enough? Because the measure of my desperation is going to determine the impact that my touch has on Jesus. Amen. This woman with the issue of blood, man, she was desperate, wasn't she? I mean, she'd been dealing with this condition for 10 years, or 12 years, I'm sorry, 12 years, and she was spent. You know, she spent all of her finances. You know, she spent all of her energy. She was spent financially, mentally, physically, emotionally. She was spent. She had used up all of her resources, all of them. She didn't have any more hope. She didn't have any more energy. She didn't have any more, enthusiasm that things are going to happen to her. She was spent. But then she heard about Jesus. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, tell somebody. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 27 again. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him. Now notice, she came to him. All right, notice this is the theme. She came to him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. Everyone say, she touched him. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And so listen, this woman was desperately determined. Come on, have you ever had your desperation get you bold? Yeah, boldly desperate. This woman was desperately determined to get close enough to Jesus that she might touch him. Come on, there's something happening in her heart where she's saying, oh, and she's trying to get through the crowds and she's saying this. Maybe she's not saying it out loud. Maybe it's under her breath because remember, she's in hiding. But she's trying to get through the crowds and she's saying, if I can only get close enough to touch his clothes, I'll be made well. If I can only get close enough, if I can only get close enough to touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Look at verse 29. Immediately, everyone say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So listen, the measure of this woman's desperation determined the impact that her touch had on Jesus. Yeah, look at this. Now, look at verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? So check this out. As soon as she touched Jesus, Jesus knew he'd been touched. Right then, as soon as she touched, he knew he'd been touched. As soon as she touched Jesus, Jesus felt power go out from him, and she was immediately healed of her affliction. Listen, the measure of her desperation determined the impact of her touch. Come on, listen. Your touch has the potential to release power. That's what the Lord wants to tell you. Your touch has the potential to release power. But the question is, are you desperate enough? Are you hungry enough? Am I? How desperate am I for Jesus? Your touch has the potential to release power. Look at Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. It says that he, Jesus, came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, listen, who came to hear him. They came to him. Yes. Listen, they got off the couch. They got up. They came to him. They went to where he was, listen, to hear him. And what else? And be healed of their diseases. Verse 18, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Look at verse 19 now. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Yes. To touch him. Why? For power went out from him. Yes. And healed them all. All who touched him. Yes. Listen, your touch has the potential to release his power. There's something about us reaching out to touch him, church. Yeah, there's something about me taking the initiative to do the touching that releases his power. Oh, listen, the days of apathy are over. You know, my wife, Pastor Gail, shared out of Hebrews today, man, let us encourage each other all the more as you see the day approaching. Cone, I've been ministering to you, and I've been sharing with you. I shared a message with you a few weeks ago. Reach the wanderer. Who's the wanderer? These are believers. The wanderers are not these people that are lost. They're born-again believers. They have a relationship with Jesus, but they're distant. They're distant. They're wandering about. And I'm not saying they're living in sin. The only sin maybe they're living in is they're not coming together for the fellowship of the saints. So the days of apathy, the Lord is saying, man, you can release my power if you're desperate enough to fight your way through the crowd of apathy and touch me. Fight through the crowds of your own cluttered thoughts. Fight through that stuff and touch me. So I have to ask myself, and this has been my question to myself, church. Listen, I'm telling you how the Lord's been dealing with me. And I had to ask myself, am I desperate enough? Am I desperate enough? You know, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Am I hungry enough? Am I thirsty enough? Am I desperate enough? And I also have to ask myself this question. Do I have to be in a dire situation to be desperate for Jesus? And the answer is no. In fact, man, I'm encouraging the exact opposite. Listen to me. Don't wait for a dire situation to make you desperate for Jesus. Don't wait for that. Don't wait for the bottom to fall out of your life or your marriage to crumble before you become desperate for Jesus. Don't wait for a dire situation to make you desperate. So somehow we have to learn how to remain desperate for Jesus in good times. Come on, are you here in this church? Because we can lose our desperation if we're not careful. And I think this brings us to a lukewarm state. I think that this type of attitude and this lack of desperation and this lack of urgency will cause many to fall away from the truth, to fall into being taught doctrines of demons. Yeah. To make their own life their life again instead of losing it. Rather than taking up their cross, they don't lose their life, so they never find it. Because there's a heart issue. There's a heart issue. So we can lose our desperation if we're not careful. And so listen, I want to tell on myself. Listen, we're family. So listen, I don't have any problem sharing with you lessons learned from my own life, right? I have no problem. So I'm going to tell on myself. Listen, sometimes I have a tendency to drift over into a mindset that causes me to think, I can go it alone. Listen, I'm not even talking about the church, because that's a mindset. I can go it alone. I don't really need the church. I don't need the fellowship. You know, I can meet them out on the trail hunting a deer. You know, that's all. I can meet them on the boat fishing. So I can slip over or drift over this mindset that would cause me to think I can go it alone, but not just about the fellowship of the church. Sometimes I can drift over to this mindset that would say, I can go it alone. You know, I really don't need to ask Jesus to help me with every little detail of my life. Now listen, I don't say that. I don't say that. I don't say, I don't need your help, Lord. I don't say that. I'm not rebellious against that. But I'm telling you something. My actions will speak louder than my words. So I don't have to say that, but anytime I choose not to acknowledge him in all my ways, I display an attitude that says, I got it from here. Come on, are you here in this church? Whenever we choose not to acknowledge him, our attitude is speaking, I got this on my own. I can do it now. I can lose my desperation for spiritual things. Everyone say, spiritual desperation. So listen. Spiritual desperation is this intense longing, this deep, intense longing to have the presence and the power of the living God operating in my life, in me and through me, all the time, 24/7. It's a spiritual desperation. It's a longing. It's a deep, intense longing. Recognize, man, I need him operating in my life with large decisions and small decisions. It's a condition of the heart. How many of you know David had this condition? David had this condition of being spiritually desperate. He was desperate for God. Look at Psalm 42, 1 through 2. Catch this. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God. I thirst for the living God. When can I go and stand before you? Yes. I'm longing for you. Yes. As the deer pants for the water, my soul longs for you. I'm thirsty for you, God. Hallelujah. David was spiritually desperate. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man, have you lost your hunger? Have we lost our hunger? Have we lost our desperation for Jesus? We have to ask ourselves the question, am I desperate enough? Listen, one thing I can tell you that I've learned about myself, every area where I am no longer desperate for Jesus is a powerless area in my life. It really is. Nothing's happening there. There's no connection to something eternal. When I'm no longer desperate for Jesus in any area of my life, it lacks power. It lacks meaning. I've also come to realize this. Any area in my life where I think I got this without acknowledging that I need Jesus is a type of pride. It's a type of pride. And listen, we're all vulnerable to this. We're all vulnerable to this type of pride. I think every one of us can relate to something. You know, maybe you were one here and that you were praying for your marriage. You're praying for a wife. You're praying to be married. Maybe you're here this morning. You were praying desperately. I need this job. I need this job. And you're throwing out these desperate pleas. And then you land the job. And you're still desperate because now I got to learn the job. Oh, give me favor. Give me favor with the job. Give me favor. Teach me this job, Lord, so I can learn it. And then after time, you learn your job really, really well. And before you know it, you're not even acknowledging the Lord in the workplace anymore. You know, pride says this, Lord, thank you for doing the heavy lifting, but I got it from here. That's what pride says. Listen, pride will destroy everything you worked hard for. Listen, this is a subtle form of pride. You hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Lord says, are you desperate enough? Am I desperate enough? Pride will destroy everything you worked hard for simply by failing to acknowledge you need him
yes.
in the little things. It's a form of pride. Thanks for bailing me out of the situation, but I got it from here. That's what it says. That's what it speaks. Even though you don't say it with your mouth, that's what it speaks. Proverbs 16:18, again, pride will destroy everything you've worked for. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Listen, your spirit of desperation, your desperate spirit can become a haughty spirit if you fail to thank God for what you asked him for. Yeah, your desperate spirit can turn into a haughty spirit if you fail to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Everyone say all your ways.
All your ways.
Yeah, we know it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Look at, in all your ways. Say all your ways.
All your ways.
He says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Listen, is it okay that we get in your grill a little bit today?
Yes.
Listen, we're not coming down on anybody, but I feel like the Lord is saying, wake them up.
Yes.
And listen, the Lord's saying, Pastor Vic, you need to wake up.
Yes.
So listen, I'm only giving you what God's given me, and I'm only teaching you what I think the Lord is teaching me by his Spirit and by my own struggles right now.
Yes.
Where I'm at in my season of life and ministry right now. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, I know the word enough that I can come up here every Sunday and wing it without studying if I wanted. Do you understand? I have enough stuff in me in 28 years. I have enough in there to be able to just, well, I think I'll just go back in my old lessons two years ago or 3 years ago and pull something out instead of getting on my face and saying, Lord, deal with me. Listen, I need God to deal with me. So listen, you don't have a pastor who's going to the archives, coming up with a message. I am asking God, what do you want to say?
Yes.
What is your word?
Yes.
And man, I got to bring myself before the Lord in humility and say, deal with me. And then I'll share what you're dealing with me about with the people. And then it becomes living.
Yes.
So listen, I haven't obtained all this. I'm just telling you where the Lord's checking me with gentleness and peace and grace and mercy. But he's telling me, man, don't lose your desperation for me. Don't lose your urgency. Your love can grow cold really fast. And we can become lukewarm really fast. So listen, there's a downward progression of attitudes and behaviors that will leave you empty, despondent, and depressed when you begin to lose your desperate need for Jesus. All right, that's a downward progression of attitudes and behaviors. The first thing that happens when you lose your desperate need for Jesus, the first thing that happens is that you start leaning on your own understanding. Yeah, I got it from here. I can do this. I don't need you to help me make this little decision. I don't need to acknowledge you while I'm brushing my teeth. All things. Yeah, constantly. You are always on my mind, right? Constantly. Constantly acknowledge him in all ways. And so listen, the first thing that happens when I begin to lose my desperate need for Jesus is that I start leaning on my own understanding, and right on the heels of that, almost simultaneously, right with that, right on the heels of that, is I stop acknowledging him in all my ways. And then right on the heels of that, this is like simultaneous. Man, I'm leaning on my understanding. I'm not acknowledging him. Then the third thing right after that is I stop thanking him for what I desperately asked for. Ooh, come on. How many of you done this before? Listen, when you stop thanking the Lord for what he brought you out of, you'll start complaining about what he's already given you. Oh, come on. Let me say that again. When you stop thanking the Lord about what he brought you through, you'll stop thanking him for what he's already given you. And listen, when you start complaining about what you desperately asked for, you got to repent, and repent quickly, because it'll quench the Spirit of God in you. Come on, you got to hear it. Turn to your neighbor and say, remain thankful. Remain thankful. Come on, I know this is a word for us. Yes. Remain thankful. Look at Psalm 100, verse 4. Look at this. It says, enter his gates. Who's doing the entering? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Who's doing the entering? We are. We take the initiative to enter his gates. Listen, not just sitting around saying, oh, Lord, I'm hurting. Come to me. Listen, he's good with that. He'll do that. But there's something that's happening where the Lord is saying, listen, I need you to take the initiative. You initiate the touch. You initiate the touch in this hour. That's why we can't forget about the bread. You pray for God to meet your need for that day, and you're able to pay the bill, and then you're complaining, I don't have enough, when God says, I just provided bread. Come on, you fall on your face in sin, you make a mistake, and the devil's in your face and in your ear telling you, you can't be forgiven, you've blown it too many times. Don't forget the bread. We got to chase out the mockers that are telling us a lie. God says, I'll meet all your need according to your riches, my riches and glory. You confess your sins, I'll forgive you of all your sins, and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I will, the absolute, I will meet your need. I will forgive your sins. I will heal you of your sickness and disease. It's absolute. It's absolute. And if we're desperate enough, listen, not waiting for the bottom to fall out of your world to be desperate, but I'm going to remain desperate. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Listen, we enter into his gates. Listen, we take the initiative, and know what we do? We touch him with thanksgiving. We touch him with thanksgiving. The measure of your desperation will determine the impact of your touch. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful that I woke up, I'm breathing today. I'm thankful, Lord, that I got my wife living with me and we're healthy. I'm thankful for my kids and grandkids. I thank you, Lord, that we might be strapped a little bit financially, but we do have food in our fridge. I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving for my daily bread and my eternal bread. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, initiate the touch. He says, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and look at this, and we enter into his courts with praise. Yes, who does the entering?
We do.
Yeah. Initiate the touch. Listen, listen, you enter into his courts with praise. Touch him with your praise. Touch him with, listen, do that right now. Listen, touch him with your thanksgiving and praise right now. Come on, thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I need you. Oh, Lord, let my thanksgiving touch you this morning. Let my praise thank you and touch you this morning. I'm entering in. I'm taking the initiative to enter into your presence. Not begging you to enter into my situation. I'm taking initiative to enter into your presence with my thanksgiving. You're a good God. Listen, as you do that, you silence the devil. But we got to take the initiative. So the question, are you desperate enough? Are you desperate enough? He goes on to say, be thankful to him and bless his name. How do we stay desperate in good times? We enter in with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. And man, we're thankful and we bless his name. And it's constant. In all our ways, we're doing it. Lord's saying, remain thankful. Remain thankful. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this will help you. This will help you. This will help me. Because I'm telling you, the devil has one job description. It's to steal, kill, and destroy. And listen, I want to say that the Lord doesn't want you to have the bottom fall out of your world to be desperate. He's saying, avoid that. Yes. Yes. How hungry are you? How hungry are for you for a genuine move of God in your family? You know, how desperate are we for a genuine move of God in this church? And in the ones you call brothers and sisters, how desperate are we? Yeah, Pastor Gail's word. Man, reach out, encourage him. Look around and see who's missing. Listen, don't let me do it all by myself. Listen, you know that if you miss a Sunday, if we have the podcast up, I'm sending it to you by Sunday or Monday. Come on, how many of you have experienced that? Listen, because I'm not only desperate for me, I'm desperate for you. So this isn't just about me. Man, I have to have a desperate need for Jesus so that I can be a servant to you. And listen, if we all have that heart, oh, come on. I just feel like the Lord is like fanning a flame at LWC today. This is the first Sunday of September, and harvest is coming. And I feel like the Lord is, he's fanning something in me. He's fanning something in this church. And listen, we cannot become lukewarm and complacent. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And listen, I'm preaching to myself. It's a double-edged sword today. I'm giving it to you, but it's filleting me. Because I've been going through some stuff. At this age in my life, at this age in my ministry, I'm going through some stuff. And you get to a certain time, and you say, what's next? What's next? It's a feeling of despondency. Even sometimes a feeling of displacement. You know, many people in our culture, church culture today, they feel displaced because their church is closed down, or they don't know where their ministry calling is anymore. They're displaced. They're not replaced, but they're displaced. And I've been dealing with that. Not here. But as a divisional superintendent for the Four Square Church for 21 years, I resigned that position. And there's a grieving that goes with that, because that was a large part of my identity and a large part of my job. Meeting with pastors in our denomination every month. There was a displacement. And so displacement turns to a despondency. Like, what's next? Is there anything better coming down the pike, or are my best years behind me? Come on. I'm just letting you know. Listen, if I don't take time to examine my heart, Lord, see if there's any anxious way in me. If I don't take time to bring my issues and my insecurities before the Lord and allow Him to show me what's going on, I'm finished. I'm desperate for Him to help me through every season of my life and every decision I make. I'm desperate. So there's displacement, there's despondency, and then there's depression. Well, you just can't see anything good. Three things. 3D words. Yeah. And so I got up a couple weeks ago, 1 a.m, because I was dealing with these things. You know, I mean, I'm a man. You know, we have a lot of change. And so I got up. My wife told me, you know, why don't you just start writing some things down, Vic? So I said, yeah, well, I got a journal from Brittany a few years back. And it wasn't a life journal like you guys have, the real life reading plan. I do that pretty often. But this was just something to write my thoughts down. And I got up at 1 a.m, and you know, you ever wake up in the middle of the night and it's like your mind is going a million miles a minute? You know, and if you're dealing with displacement, despondency, and depression, your thoughts aren't good. You're battling to try to get your head above water. And so I got up and I went into my office at the house and I opened up this journal that my daughter got me and I started reading it one page at a time. And I found out that I stopped writing in that journal in March of 2021. Yeah, it hit me. It's been 2 years. And so I went before the Lord. You know, I got this picture of Jesus in my office. And, you know, it's not like those weird ones, you know, with a frisbee over his head or anything like that. But it's one that I had, that my mom always had in our house, where he just has got the hair, the long hair, you know, he's kind of looking out. And anyway, I just, you know, just had a dim light on there, and I started thinking about 2 years ago, you know, I realized that in March of 2021, that's when our Foursquare denomination was going through a major change. They switched up the way the districts look. So instead of the Heartland District, which I was a divisional superintendent for, it now became the Central District. So the district was very large. I also lost my pastor. He was my pastor for 12 years, Dan Mutt. You know? At that time, Gail's dad was getting sick. You know, so this is the patriarch. I lost both my parents, she lost her mom, and now we're looking at that. You know, and I realized that the last 2 years, I kept busy, but I wasn't grieving. I wasn't grieving. I wasn't allowing the Lord to get into those areas. I was just going. And I realized that night that I've been grieving some things. Listen, not only that, but you know, the thought of Pastor Jim moving into part-time. We've been together 20, that's another thing. You know, all these different things. Our kids' lives are changed. You know, our oldest daughter and her husband and our other 7-year-old grandson, they got a house this summer, and so they're moving, and you know, Brittany's got a brand new baby, and our family's changed. We call them. You understand? And so things have changed. You know, Gail and I are moving into a new season, you know. And, you know, so I spoke with Pastor Paul Allen, spent some time on the phone with him, and, you know, spoke with Pastor Bill Fine. These are men that are my friends that are close to me. And I just learned that, you know, Gail and I, well, like I shared, or she shared, that just asking ourselves questions, little questions, on how to get to know each other better over a meal. You know, just because we've been married 31 years doesn't mean that we don't, if we stop getting to know each other, we lose it, right? And so there's these little things that are happening on, and all of this stuff came to a head to where I come to this place where I'm recognizing You know, I don't have to wait around for Jesus to come into my situation. I can enter into his presence. I can touch him. I can touch him. And listen, it turns things around. Just by this last verse, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Yeah, I enter his courts. I do it. I take the initiative. And so listen, I want to tell you what happens is that you begin to do this, and it's not how you feel. The feeling comes after your obedience. Right? Things begin to lift after you practice the revelation you got. Amen? Listen, is this helping anybody? Listen, I'm letting you into some corners of my life. But listen, I think that it's relatable. You know, I think we have to take time to allow the Lord to help us process. And thank God I have a faithful wife who prays for me and gives me wise counsel. I'm thankful to have her. You know, because she doesn't see what you see all the time. She's like, man, where's Pastor? She's going, bring Pastor Vic home. Please. She doesn't say that. Not with her words, but she's very, very faithful. But I'm telling you, listen, the Bible says this. Jesus said this. In this life, you will have trouble. Yes. Well, we can't ignore it. Are you hearing? We can't just pretend it's not there. You know, fake it till you make it. I can't fake it. You know, then the other one is faith it till you make it. Show me how then. I want to. Come on, are you hearing me? So listen, being desperate for Jesus is me realizing and confessing I can't live without him. And meaning it. Not just like, oh, I can't live without you. No, real desperation for Jesus for me, it's me realizing, acknowledging, and confessing that, man, I can't make a right choice without you. Yes. Yes. I can't make a right decision. It's me really recognizing and confessing that, Jesus, I'm desperate for you. I can't live without you. I can't. I can't do it. And that touches him. Because all of that means when Jesus says, you lose your life, you'll find it. You lay down your life. I lay down my life for you. You lay down your life for me. If you lose your life and you lose your thought, I got it from here. If you lose that, you'll find me. And the measure of your desperation, Vic, will determine the impact that your touch has on me. You know, before every blessing comes a breaking, church. He broke the bread, blessed it, and gave it. Before every blessing comes a breaking. And I think that sometimes the Lord will take us through a breaking season so that we can be blessed. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, the greater the breaking,
the greater the breaking,
the greater the blessing.
The greater the blessing.
Now tell him, don't run from the breaking. Don't run from the breaking. Please don't run from the breaking. Amen. So how desperate are you for Jesus? The woman with the issue of blood was desperate. So desperate that she made it through the crowds. She touched Jesus and she was immediately healed. The multitudes who needed healing and deliverance from demonic spirits, all that, they were desperate. They touched Jesus and they were immediately healed. Listen, their desperation made them bold. They were boldly desperate. Come on, are you hearing that?
Yes.
They were so desperate, they were bold. That, man, I'm going into his presence. They were boldly desperate. They were boldly desperate, and they were desperately, like, determined. I'm not leaving until I touch him. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get to him. They were boldly desperate that they might touch him. Look at Hebrews 4:16, last verse of the day. Look at this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How desperate. Is your desperation made you bold enough to enter into his throne of grace and say, I need help. I need help. You know, maybe your life is going really well right now. You know, got money in the bank, you're healthy, things are going great, family's strong. Praise the Lord. But listen, be desperate to acknowledge him and thank him in all your ways. Amen. Come into that, come boldly into that throne of grace, listen, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yeah. So my thing is, man, I don't need to be empty to need Jesus. That you may find grace to help in time of need. I don't have to wait to blow it. I don't have to wait to need his grace to need Jesus. Do you understand? I'm coming to the determination and the revelation that, man, my time of need is right now. Because I can't live a minute without you. I can't do it. I can't love my wife the right way without you. I can't love my kids. I can't pastor this church. I can't make a right decision. I am desperately in need of your help now. Even if nothing's going wrong and everything's great, oh, I'm still desperately in need. Amen? It's something inside. It's a condition of the heart. And I believe the Lord is saying, man, I want to get that passion stirred up again. And it's not by works, by the way. You don't work it up. You just get before the Lord and recognize and realize that, Lord, there's been some areas where I have had an attitude of pride because I failed to acknowledge you in all my ways. I give you a quick hello in the morning, a quick hello at lunch, a quick hello at dinner, a quick good night, and I haven't acknowledged you in between all those times. And my attitude is saying, thanks for getting me out of the mess, but I can handle it from here. And the Lord's saying, just acknowledge me in all your ways. You getting something out of this? Listen, can we stand to our feet? I'm finished. Good? Hey, listen, by the way, I want to let you know, I am so thankful to have a congregation where I can be behind the pulpit and be completely transparent. Yeah? Man, I'm not faking it. And I'm not pretending to be somewhere I'm not. But I know something, man. The Lord will take us by the hand and get us through whatever we need to get through. Amen. Come on, lift up your hands and thank the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on, say this to me. Say, Father God, forgive me of pride. Forgive me for complaining about the very thing I desperately asked you for. Forgive me for the times I stopped thanking you. Forgive me for not acknowledging you in all my ways. Forgive me for losing my desperation for you. Today, I acknowledge how desperately I need you. I need you, Jesus, in every area of my life. I need you to help me make right decisions. I need you to help me make right choices. I need you to help me say the right things. I need you to help me to use the right tones. I need you, Jesus. I'm desperate for you. I can't live without you. I don't want to go 1 minute without you in my day. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Come on now, enter in and give him, touch him with your thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for my friends, my family, my brothers and my sisters. And I thank you, Lord, that you bless their weekend. I thank you, Lord, that they move on from here and they enter in and stay in the presence of your courts and your gates by remaining thankful and praising you in all their ways from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.